And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Our Joe Rex Road is out today in Knoxville, Tennessee for Tennessee Volunteers Media Day. So Josh Heupel and company about to get things fired up. College football season will be here before we know it. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on? You're looking looking fly today on the streaming devices that we have. It's good stuff.
I'll take that. Yeah, I'm wearing the polo that I wear every third day that I shall wear to Tennessee Football Media Day. But, yeah, looking forward to, you know, Josh Heupel and his players and probably a much more extensive media day than what we got under his predecessor.
I would say that you're probably right about that. I will give Josh Heupel some credit. Before he ever even sets on the field for Tennessee, he looks to be better equipped in that area than his predecessor.
Yes, and some people think that's not a big deal, but I do. We can talk about that later, too, in the show. But, okay. But yeah, it should be interesting. In fact, I have a little bit of a hint of what's going to come today, and quite a few people that Tennessee fans really would like to hear from, I think, are going to be available today.
Sounds good. We've got a lot to talk about on that front. We'll have Adam Sparks, who has made the transition to the Knoxville News Sentinel to cover the Vols. He'll be coming up at 7 o'clock today here on the show as well. So looking forward to getting Adam Sparks and his viewpoint on Tennessee football as they head into their media days starting today. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Carson Wentz and his injury that he sustained with his foot. We had Stephen Holder on from The Athletic, and the extent of the injury wasn't really known. Reports came and surfaced that he was going to try and not have surgery and wait it out and see if he could be available for week one. And that shifted a little bit yesterday. Frank Reich and the Colts announcing that Carson Wentz is going to have surgery and that he can miss anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks. Now, let me start by saying, that's a heck of a range, 5 to 12 weeks. Yeah. I'm not sure that I've ever heard a range quite like that before. That could be as soon as the start of the season where he's available, and that could also be like almost November when he's available at that point. That's a heck of a range.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not easy to get Vrabel to laugh, right? But Vrabel actually laughed yesterday when someone threw that timeline at him. And he wasn't like laughing at Wentz's misfortune. Right. I don't think he was. But he was just like, wow, you got a great chance of being right, 5 to 12. So, you know, the high end of that would mean that he would miss both Titans games.
Yeah.
So there's a scenario where he's fine for both and a scenario where he misses both. I mean, you know, best case, you're talking about a bone being removed from his foot.
Yeah.
You're talking about completely missing camp. And you know, not having, and I think this was an important camp for him. I mean, it is for any quarterback, but especially I think a new one coming off a terrible year, new personnel, all that stuff, and just being thrown right in. Still not great when you look at especially the Colts' early schedule. I mean, the toughest part of their season is right away. So not good for the Colts.
Not good for the Colts at all. And look, you know, we talked yesterday about quarterbacks that they have on the roster, maybe some quarterbacks that they could potentially target. And nobody knows exactly how long Carson Wentz is going to be out. But, Joe, if it shifts more to, you know, the 12-week part of this, whether it's 9 or 10 or 11, whatever the case may be, they're in serious trouble. I mean, you could make an argument with him being, you know, out for all of training camp and coming back the first part that he could struggle coming back in there. But if he's not in there and your options are – either Sam Ehlinger or Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley or trading for whomever that's not Jimmy Garoppolo or Deshaun Watson, this Colts team could be in some pretty serious trouble. And if it moves towards the 12-week part of this timeline for Carson Wentz, the Titans could be sitting in some pretty good shape when it comes to the first part of this season, because we talked about it yesterday. Nothing scares you if you're a Titans fan about Jacob Eason. Sam Ehlinger, I don't think, is quite ready to be an NFL quarterback at this point. He may never be ready to be an NFL quarterback. If it's towards the 12-week part of this, I think the Colts are in big trouble.
Yeah, and then my question on this is, where at what point, you know, after surgery, do they get a maybe a little bit better feel for which it will be? I mean, I just to me, with Wentz's history, age, and all that, and what you're asking him to do, I got to think it's at least somewhere in the middle. And if that's the case, and you're talking about throwing him in after a few games of the season, I to me, the Colts have to really consider going out and getting somebody. And I just retweeted right before the show, my coworker at The Athletic, Vic Tafur, who covers the Raiders, friend of the show,
yep,
who said he said that, well, he said before he asked about a trade for Mario, the Raiders would be okay with Peterman as their number two, which is an interesting point. I would not have necessarily guessed that. He said they'd be okay with that, but they really like their QB room as is, would take at least a third rounder to get them even interested in a trade. Is Chris Ballard willing to deal a third or better for a stopgap right now?
That's a great question, and we know Chris Ballard, not a big fan of first-round picks, but those middle rounds certainly been able to work his magic on that front with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I think if Carson Wentz misses significant time that the Colts are in trouble, not everybody feels that way. Colin Cowherd gave his thoughts on the Carson Wentz injury and the race in the AFC South between the Colts and the Titans, and still a lot of love for the Indianapolis Colts from Colin Cowherd. Here's what he had to say on his show regarding the Indianapolis Colts.
They got a smart GM and a smart head coach and the league's best offensive line, and it's virtually impossible to not get to the playoffs when you have the best offensive line or the second best maybe to the Browns in football. Carson Wentz, their quarterback, he is now elected to have surgery on a foot injury, reportedly a high school injury. And he is out somewhere between, what, 5 and 6 and 12 weeks, 1 month to 3. Now, they're in such a wobbly division, they still have a fighting chance to scratch and claw their way to a 9-8 record. That could win the division. Houston's a mess. Jacksonville rebuilding. I don't trust Tennessee. But this is an interesting story.
So what do you think of Cowherd floating it out there that maybe Indy can get to 9-8, and maybe a 9-8 record is good enough to win the AFC South?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time pondering his takes. He's got a lot. I mean, he's got some scorchers. Well, I mean, hey, listen, I don't begrudge anyone for saying they don't trust Tennessee. I mean, again, the one side of the ball is completely, you know, reshaped, and who knows what it's going to be. I mean, I think I'd feel a certain level of trust. Had I watched any Tennessee Titans football recently, I'd feel a certain level of trust for the offense. The interesting thing I think that Cowherd says there is he talks about Indy's offensive line, you know, one of the best in football. You know, but of course they also have, you know, a guy coming back from Achilles at left tackle.
Yes.
And I'm not sure. Look, the interior of that line is tremendous. They've got some outstanding players. I think it's awfully close between the Titans and the Colts in terms of offensive line quality. You bring Taylor Lewan back at left tackle, the Titans are better, period, at the most important position. And, you know, right tackle is certainly something to figure out for the Titans. So they both have a question, but I think it's awfully close. So it sounds to me like Cowherd has a little bit, maybe too much respect for the Colts up front and seems to be dismissing the Titans there. But again, it's probably someone who's watched about 19 minutes of Titans football in the last year.
Would probably be my guess. Maybe on the high side of the amount of Titans football that he's watched in the last couple of years. So with that in mind, you brought up Mariota, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday as well. To me, if I'm Chris Ballard, I think it makes sense at this point to make a trade for someone of that ilk anyway at this point. I mean, we talked about Jacob Eason. Apparently that's not going all that well. Sam Ehlinger as well. I know you just brought in Brett Hundley, but Brett Hundley is not a high-quality option to play NFL quarterback. To me, and Corey Curtis brought this up yesterday on the show, probably something you should have thought about anyway if you're Chris Ballard in the Colts. You've got an injury-prone quarterback coming in to be your starter. You need to address the backup spot with a guy that can at least come in and play, whether that's Mariota, whether it's making a trade for Gardner Minshew, whether whoever, somebody that's come in and has played significant snaps before in the NFL. So if you're Chris Ballard in the Colts, let's say it is a third rounder. Are you willing to pay that price at this point, even not knowing exactly how long Wentz is going to be out, to go and try and attract maybe a Marcus Mariota from the Raiders and get him in here so at least you have an option at quarterback that you feel better about rather than your current setup in your room? I say yes.
I think so. You know, it's one of those things where, you can look at the Colts and say, look, this is a classic example of a team where, you know, just a game manager who doesn't screw it up, you know, you can win a lot of games. It's just, it's really complicated because how are you winning early? How are you not getting into a huge hole if you don't have more than that at quarterback? And then the question is, who would actually come in and quickly be able to figure this out and give you a chance? I mean, there's like Jared yesterday at practice. We were talking about this, all the, you know, the media at Titans practice. And he's like, well, it's going to be a Foles, or it's going to be someone in that family of the, you know, the Chicago, Kansas City, Philly, Colts, you know, that offense, which I get. But like, and there's the Nick Foles has been asked about this already this week. But like, that's not doing it for you.
No.
I'm sorry. You tell me. I know that you're a Mariota hater. Would you rather have Mariota or Foles right now?
I'd rather have Mariota.
There we go. I mean, I think it's clear. Like, there's at least some potential to make plays. I mean, Foles is just, you know, he's a guy who should be holding a clipboard now. And he's not going to come into me and make some big difference. So the pickings are slim. I think those are the two guys that we debated yesterday that probably make the most sense. They give you at least some playmaking opportunity. But then, you know, again, they're coming into that system. How quickly can they figure it out? Because they got to be ready to rock right away. So if you're Chris Ballard, are you giving up a high pick when there's far from any certainty that anyone you bring in is actually going to flip those games around and put them in your favor? I don't know.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jordan texting in, Carson Wentz's injury is not that serious. It all depends on where the incision is going to be. I would say at this point, they don't really know how serious. I mean, the 5 to 12 week timeline, that's quite the range. I mean, yeah. If it's 5 weeks, yeah, it's not really that big a deal. He'll be back on the field. 12 weeks is 3 months. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's just, and again, and he probably hates this, and I'm sure some Colts fans hate hearing this, but his history has to give you a little bit of pause, and you're like, this will be fine, no problem. He'll get right past this, you know? I mean, it's one thing after another. And again, even if it is best-case scenario, is he going to be ready to play at the level they need him to play? They're a good team.
Yep.
But they are playing some of the best in the league, and in week three, they're playing the Titans in a huge game. Is he going to be ready to play at that level? Is this not going to at least somewhat take away one of the big strengths of his game? I can't imagine it wouldn't. So you're going to hear optimism about this, you know, because that's usually how it goes. But I can't imagine that this doesn't disrupt their first month in a negative way.
We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we will get into the Titans, including, is it time for concern for a couple of members, prominent members, of that Titans offense? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Don't miss the Music City Grand Preview Show with Chase McCabe later today at 6 p.m. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating and Cooling, and Newton Motor Group. Also, this Saturday at 9 a.m., make sure you tune in for a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay, brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair as well. Fourth time's a charm, Rex Road. Got that one finally.
You got it. I know what you're saying.
Reading's hard at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Reading's fundamental.
It is reading. Reading is fundamental. Welcome back in here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans back on the field yesterday for training camp. Joe Rexroad, you were there once again before you made your trek to Knoxville for Tennessee's Media Day coming up a little bit later today. Anything stand out to you yesterday for the Titans on the field? Obviously, Caleb Farley made his appearance on the field, activated off of NFI yesterday as well. What stood out yesterday in your mind at Titans training camp?
Yeah, well, I've got my little. It's not little. It's just big notebook here, which I actually stole from Katie. No, Katie let me take it. So it's actually been very helpful during camp. So I'm looking back at my notes. You know, one of the first things when they got into team, and it was team red zone. We've talked about AJ Brown tearing people up. Well, little out route that Tannehill stared him down, and Christian Fulton jumped it and picked it off. And it was, you know, great play by Fulton. It was a good play by Fulton. It was also kind of a gimme. And as I watched that play, I was like, is Tannehill trying to, like, go around to the various DBs and, like, give them all a pick so that they, you know, get a little confidence going, you know, and then get to work? I mean, this was a very late and bad decision by Tannehill, more than it was a good play by Fulton. Good for Fulton to be aggressive, because when you're, you know, when you're dealing with a guy like AJ Brown, you know, that can freeze you. You know, that can make you unaggressive. But he jumped it, and good for him. He also had another near pick. Then he had a pass break. All of Tannehill passes. So very good day for Christian Fulton. He stood out like he hasn't really stood out so far. And I think that was, I mean, I think it's important for him. I haven't seen a lot of bad from him, you know, so far. But, you know, him making some plays is a good thing. I mean, Vrabel, you know, said this too after yesterday's sessions. You know, confidence, it's an important thing. Now, Tannehill also hit Julio Jones at Fulton's expense on a very pretty touchdown. Then, of course, Tannehill put a dime on Julio. Now, this is a later session, by the way. They do team, then they go do stuff, then they come back and do team. They come back and forth to it, and then go with their position groups, you know. But Tannehill put a dime on him, and Julio dropped it and came up, you know, ginger and on the sideline and kind of crouched over. And, you know, at first someone was like, maybe that's just like you just dropped a TD kind of injury, you know, like, you know. But he stayed crouched over and then went inside. And I can't imagine it's anything serious. Obviously, you hope it's not something like a hammy, because we know that a hammy was a problem for him. But it looked like probably a little ankle twist would be my guess right now, my official non-Dr. Rexroad guess. So we'll see. I mean, I'd imagine that he probably won't be out there today, and so people will probably – freak to some extent, but I just it's hard for me to imagine that little thing with no contact was anything serious. Tannehill, you know, he was sailing some throws again. He had some great throws, he had some sailed throws, and then he had, you know, that bad decision. He's had a few of those. I mean, he has thrown pretty decent. I don't know what the total number is, but he's thrown some picks so far in camp. So, you know, people can interpret that as they will, I suppose.
Well, and to that point, you know, that's something we talked about a little bit yesterday, and Tannehill with some more picks yesterday as well after we got done with our show as training camp practice was going on. And Jared Stillman asked Mike Vrabel about that and about how concerned he is at this point with the interceptions that are taking place thus far in training camp. Here's what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday after practice.
Not asking for a percentage, but just – your feel for how much of that is good play versus bad decision. And I know a couple practices ago you were unhappy with the practice because you felt like you were giving away a lot of opportunities out there.
Well, certainly with the quarterback center exchange, I think the interceptions, you know, there were times today that I felt like we made a really nice play, and then I felt like, you know, maybe on the pressure, you know, I mean, like, we got to throw that ball away. We're just, you know, I mean, it's like they blitzed us, and, you know, that ball's probably just got to be, you know, dirted or thrown away. And I think that's probably, you know, when you throw out there late, that's a recipe for disaster.
So that was Rabel yesterday on the interceptions and talking about sometimes it's just a better play to dirt the ball or to throw it away and to get out of there when pressure is coming your way. Look, I mean, interceptions have not been a big problem for Ryan Tannehill ever since he took over as quarterback for the Titans. And one of the things that fascinates me about football, maybe more than all the other sports, is we make a big deal about what goes on in practice, especially a big deal about what goes on in training camp practice. Whereas other sports, like, I've watched thousands of hockey practices, I can promise you, I've never made one big deal out of anything that's happened in a hockey practice. Now, it's different in football. I recognize that. But it's not like interceptions have been this huge issue for Ryan Tannehill. So I wouldn't say that I'm at this point concerned that all of a sudden he's just going to start turning the ball over left and right once the actual season begins. But I do think something you brought up is interesting. Like, is it just a training camp thing where you're trying to see what you have in your receiver group and maybe you're willing to take some more chances? Is it just maybe to give the defense a little confidence? I don't know. I mean, Tannehill's a pretty competitive guy. I doubt he's out there just turning the ball over on purpose. But I don't think that I've reached the point with this, with Tannehill, where I would be all that concerned about it yet if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I think that, you know, that question was a good question by Jared. Take note. Positive comment for me.
You did,
Jared. And you know, you can kind of tell in that answer. I mean, I promise you, the Fulton pick of Tannehill, that is throwing late recipe for disaster, what Vrabel's talking about.
Yeah.
Now, again, there was another one that he threw late in the later period that could have been picked, probably should have been picked. And I can promise you, Ryan Tannehill was not like, hey, all right, DB, good play. He was not happy. So it's competitive out there, and he wants to, you know, be great, be perfect as he's taking these reps. But it's a great point by you. I mean, you know, there's no other sport where usually you don't even watch any practice, right? And as this season extends, there won't be a lot of practice watching. But
right.
Training camp in the NFL is just one of those special things where – and, you know, traditionally it is with fans, and it would be this year if not for the construction over there. Or it's kind of a way to get, you know, to get ready, obviously, and sort of to get a feel for the fishbowl you're in playing this sport. And it is amazing how much we make of some of these things, because Tannehill right now can absolutely let it rip. And he may not be happy, but he's going to take chances right now that he's not going to take in an actual game, because he knows how disastrous it can be to turn it over. And like you said, he hasn't had that problem in games. So I'd say if you're a Titans fan, if you had a choice, you should prefer that some of these DBs that you hope give you a better defense make some plays, get some confidence, and you should feel pretty decent about your quarterback.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A big day upcoming today for the Titans in training camp. The pads are coming on. What position battle is the most interesting with the pads on today? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, that's, I think, where we start to evaluate some of these guys that, you know, up front, especially. There's a lot of guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive lines. You know, Monty Rice needs to take some blocks on and needs some contact. These tight ends, you know, so those are guys that, you know, really you're focusing on. You know, what can the runners run, you know, behind their pad, take care of the football, you know, and hopefully we've been able to do that, you know, carrying it. I wouldn't say throwing it very well, but we've been able to take care of it, running it, and so hopefully we can do that again tomorrow.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday after Titans practice. It's a big day coming up today for the Titans at training camp. The pads are coming on. First day of full pads today at training camp. And as Vrabel talked about there in that clip, maybe a better opportunity to start to evaluate some of the guys up front on the line of scrimmage, on the offensive line and defensive line as well. Joe Rexroad, as the pads are coming on today, what are a couple of guys that stand out to you in terms of the most intriguing guys to watch in full pads, maybe on the offensive and defensive lines as well?
Well, I think it's going to be fun to watch, you know, the interiors go against each other. You know, so when you get, you know, Autry and Simmons going against, you know, Davis Jones, Saffold, that's good stuff. I mean, that's really good players on both sides of the offensive line, but you also know that. So to me, it's the unknown that's more interesting. And Dylan Raduns is awfully interesting. Like, I will say this, you know, you want to hesitate, just like I want to hesitate on Racy McMath being a Pro Bowler right away, okay? Want to hesitate on, you know, panicking or pressing the panic button anyway. But I will say that Dylan Raduns has struggled in pass pro. When they have done team and he has been and you know, he has been out there, he's been moving around. Like really, the tackles have been moving around a lot. But he has struggled against a variety of players. So does that – is there anything different for him when the pads go on? Do you see him assert himself in the run game like you really can't before the pads go on? Important few days for him, I would say, because it's just at this point he needs a lot of work, I think, in pass protection. Now, is that some huge shock for a rookie? No, but again, you're talking about a second-round pick and a guy who – When you're selected there, I think the expectation is that pretty quickly you're gonna, you know, be competing to get on the field.
Right.
So he's certainly someone, you know, to keep an eye on. I think as Vrabel said, you know, the tight ends, the linebackers. That's also, I mean, we've been wondering about Anthony Firkser's blocking forever now. Well, there you go. Here's more of an opportunity to see some of that. See how, you know, Swaim and now Swaim's been out a couple of days. You know, Stocker's in there now, how he looks. I mean, Tommy Hudson's still competing. I mean, it's not like out of the realm of possibility that he could beat out like a Stocker for that role. It's the same kind of player. You know, Monty Rice is interesting for sure. And on the flip side of Raduns, you know, a guy who I think has looked impressive and has – some juice, has some burst, has some moves. Rashad Weaver, certainly. Guy, I mean, look, I liked him as a player at Pittsburgh. I mean, he's a guy who made a lot of plays and was stout, set the edge, but also had some pass rush ability. He looks like he can help this team. And so now, does it still look that way when he puts pads on and there's just a little bit more at stake and there's a little bit, you know, there's just more cost to these confrontations now.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. And you brought up Raduns. That's probably the guy that I'm most interested to see. How do you handle the full contact in pads? I mean, it's going to be a process bringing him along. We've talked about that. How quickly can he be ready to play significant snaps for this Titans team? This is going to be a big step in that process, is full contact, getting a pretty decent evaluation of exactly where he is, what he needs to work on, and how that process plays out as they move forward here. Also, I'm interested to see Jeffrey Simmons as well. We know what that's going to look like. It's not going to be, you know, full bore out there like it would be during a game, but this is a big year for him. This is a big year for Jeffrey Simmons in terms of kind of taking that next step and being a guy that moves from, you know, a guy that's disrupting to being a huge difference maker for this Titans defense. So interested to see what that looks like with Autry together out there as well. Landry, I know Bud Dupree's not out there yet, and we don't have the complete picture. But these battles on the line of scrimmage, it's tough to get a lot out of it when you don't have the full pads, just because that's largely what that is full contact and being able to shed blocks and learn how to do stuff like that. But I'm really interested to see what this D-line looks like. I mean, you brought up guys like Murchison, guys like Tart as well, who have looked great so far during camp and have played really well, look like they're in great shape heading into the season. I'm interested to see, for guys like those two guys specifically, what that can translate to once the full pads are on now.
No, I agree. No question. Those guys have been very good in the shorts and helmets. They've been quick off the line. They've been disruptive when they've gone team. But now, okay, now everybody's got, you know, a little bit more that they're working with. And, you know, can you still do that? Right now, that's probably one of the areas I definitely feel was a bit of a concern, and I think less so now. Just is there enough up front that they can actually rotate guys and keep a guy like Simmons fresh, yeah, you know, the fourth quarter? And I do. I think those guys have really stepped up to embrace the opportunity, that at least in terms of the shape they're in, and they look quick. They look like they know what they're doing. No, Simmons also certainly worth mentioning. You know, he did the presser yesterday. Basically, every day they bring, you know, a top player, a key player to the podium, and they do some other players off to the side. And Simmons was the guy at the podium yesterday, and it was striking to me, one, the kind of shape he looks like he's in, very, very good, but just also like his confidence. It's a little bit like A.J. Brown. They're both going into their third year. He just seems like a guy who knows exactly what's going on, knows what he needs to do, is healthy at this point. And even just the way he talked at the press conference, you contrast that with a couple of years ago when he came in as a rookie. It's a pretty big difference, pretty big leap in just confidence, you can tell. And also, obviously, at that time, he was answering the questions about, you know, his trouble before he got to Mississippi State and all those things too. Sure. But you just don't know if someone's going to stay healthy. And you're not going to see much of Jeffrey Simmons in real football here before it starts. But I've seen nothing to dissuade me from thinking that he might be on the verge of a huge season.
We see Derrick Henry get in any of this when the full pads are on today, get in, maybe lowering that head a little bit, stiff arming some folks.
My
guess is he's going to be standing off to the side.
Battering ram all day. It's just going to be tackle Derek. He'll get every rep in the tackling drills. It's funny. I'm glad you brought him up because he was he actually had a clipboard on the sideline yesterday.
Taking some notes?
Yeah. He may have been calling plays. You know, during team, I mean, everybody else, like, you know, A.J. Brown's out there and Julio Jones out there. Tannehill, Henry's over there with his clipboard, you know, just relaxing. They're not going to mess around with that. But, you know, on the tackling drill front, and I know the big fellas are the focus, but this is also tackling for DBs. And, you know, at what point is Caleb Farley,
yep,
going to get into that? We haven't talked about him yet. I will say, just like last week, but now you can actually talk about it because he's not on a field you cannot discuss for players coming back from injury. But he looks good. I mean, he's big. He's fast. His change of direction looks really good. What about contact? When will that come? I don't know. But I would say yesterday was a pretty encouraging day for the Titans because it looks like they're going to be able to get something from their first round pick this year. Maybe that's not some big surprise, but when a guy starts out on NFI, you just don't know. And backs, you just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm interested in, and we've not talked about him a lot so far during training camp, but I think could have a pretty big role in this offense in terms of the different ways they use him. Darrington Evans, I mean, with Henry not really participating in the team part of this, and we all understand why, it's probably a great move by Mike Vrabel. This is a pretty big opportunity for Evans to get some valuable reps, not only in the passing game, which I think you and I both feel like he can be a weapon in, but also in the running game as well, like proving that you can run in between the tackles at the NFL level. Like, I think this training camp and the preseason, a big opportunity for Darrington Evans to show what he can do because he really didn't have that chance last year. I mean, he was hurt for a lot of the year. He got some good snaps towards the end of the season last year. But with Derrick Henry doing what he does, he's going to be on the field most of the time. I'm interested in the different ways they use Evans this year. And I think this stretch here with Henry kind of just holding off to the side while team periods are going on, it's a pretty big opportunity for Darrington Evans.
No, I agree. And I think he looks really good as far he looks really fast. He looks explosive. He gets to the corner really quickly on some of these outside runs, and he's catching the ball. I think I would disagree a little bit with Corey Curtis from yesterday on Brian Hill. I think Brian Hill's a good signing, and he's got more size. And maybe, like, if Henry were to miss time, it would be very handy to have a guy like Brian Hill around. But I think we'll see. Pads will help tell the story there, preseason games too. But I feel like Evans is, you know, if they go with a series with someone else, I think it's going to be him. And I think he's going to have more than just the third down role. I think you want to get the ball in his hands. So far, I think it looks good. And he's had a little bit of downfield work too, which I think is makes sense. I mean, he can outrun a lot of people. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. And, of course, McNichols is now active. But, I mean, if you're the Titans, you know, you want, frankly, McNichols to be beat out by these guys. You know, he's helped them a lot. He's a solid pro. But you want more from that position. And I think Evans can provide it.
When we come back, Rex Road has a Titans training camp edition of Buy or Sell. Am I buying what Rex Road is selling? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow as Nashville SC takes on New England. Pre-game starts at 5:45 and the match begins at 6 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Titans. And Joe Rex Road, you came out with a piece yesterday at theathletic.com, a little training camp edition of Buy or Sell for the Tennessee Titans with some things you're buying and selling so far through Titans training camp. And I read through it. Very interesting piece you've got up at theathletic.com. I hope people can check that out. You can find that tweeted out at Joe Rexroad on Twitter.
And you have no quibbles?
Oh, I've got some quibbles.
Oh, okay. Well, let me have it.
Well, let's just start with the sell part of this, because obviously we talked about it yesterday on the show. Racy McMath getting a lot of love right now. Racy McMath, not only from Titans media that's been out there to watch him play, but, I mean, when A.J. Brown basically compares Racy McMath to Julio Jones and says that he reminds him of Julio, there's going to be a little bit of noise that comes with that. And as A.J. Brown kind of laughed about it, and you detailed here in the piece, everybody started writing that down when A.J. Brown said that. Look, I like the size and the speed, but I'm kind of with you on him. Let's hold off a little bit before we crown Racy McMath the next Julio Jones. I would say let's be cautious on that front. And one thing you bring up here in this piece, which I think is a very good point, what exactly is the opportunity for McMath going to look like? If Reynolds is healthy, if Julio's healthy, and A.J. Brown's healthy, there's not going to be a whole lot of reps at wide receiver for a guy like Racy McMath. Now, in your mind, and obviously there's still some games to come, we've not even gotten to the first preseason game, but at this point, as a sixth-round pick, would you say that Racy McMath is in a safe spot in terms of his ability to make this team based on what he's displayed thus far?
I don't know if I would use the word safe. Safe is tough. You know, safe, I think I've got four guys who are safe, and that's – you know, the big two. And Reynolds, who, by the way, you know, has been out since Thursday and is missing all these reps. And obviously they signed him, and they, you know, he's going to be a part of the plans. But that is opening opportunity. And there's different kinds of guys doing different kinds of jobs, right? But I'll tell you what, Chester Rogers yesterday and really every day, but especially yesterday, was great. And Chester Rogers has played in this league. He's a veteran. He is a very good route runner. He catches everything. He's making a push. So, you know, a guy like Reynolds gets hurt, a guy like Rogers comes in, and that's just a different deal. I mean, McMath is still a project to some extent. Now, if McMath is going to be a presence and do as hoped in the kicking game, then I like his chances. But safe, I don't know. I think the fourth guy I would say safe would be Des Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
Fourth round pick. It's an investment. I just and honestly, I mean, I think Fitzpatrick and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina are guys who haven't made a ton of plays at this point. I mean, I would say, you know, like I would say Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson, you could argue that they've made more plays, more of an impact catching the ball than the two I just mentioned. But the two I just mentioned, I still think have a better chance of making the team. And again, with Westbrook-Ikhina and with McMath, you have to keep special teams in mind. Anytime that you can have a redundancy and have a guy in a position group who also is going to be a core special teams player, that's a big deal. But I think there's four that I would say safe. And then I would go Westbrook-Ikhina and McMath. And I just, you know, Batson is just, it's going to be tough, but I guess I'm going to keep him. At this point, I think I might put a Rodgers as a seventh guy over a Batson because I think in a pinch, he could be the third guy out there and the Titans would feel okay with him. Like offensively, plugging a guy in, plug and play, you know, Reynolds is hurt, whatever. I think Rodgers right now is demonstrating this veteran understanding and just an all-around, like, good, solid game. I think I'd have him as my seventh guy right now.
Now, there's one part of tough. This piece. It is tough. That's a great problem for the Titans to have because there have been some Titans teams in the past where you're looking past the number two guy to see, all right, is there anybody else in this team that can help you on the field at wide receiver? That should not be the case this year with this group. They should be in good hands on that front. The one part of your article that you put up in terms of the buy section that I don't know that you're wrong. I just don't know that I'm quite willing to go there yet is the Anthony Firkser part of this being ready to be a number one tight end. Again, I know that he's looked great in training camp. I just don't know that I'm quite yet willing to go that I'm absolutely buying that yet until I see it for a few weeks at the NFL level. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a guy that – you know what you have in Anthony Firkser? He's sure-handed. We had some texters talk about that on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Until I see it for a stretch of time at the NFL level as a starting tight end and number one tight end, I don't know that I'm quite yet willing to buy that he's ready to be a number one tight end.
Well, that's fair. I mean, and you know, I'm making this observation again: shorts, helmets,
sure,
running around out there. Guy who definitely, I mean, his upper body is different. He has worked hard to be more of a, you know, more of a factor in the run game. But yeah, it's going to get interesting with him too, and how he's used and things like that. But I tell you what, he looks awfully good. I just, again, with him, it's kind of like what I was talking about with Simmons, you know, and A.J. Brown. Certain point in your career, you're healthy, you're young, but you know everything. You've been around a little bit. And with him, it's just a totally different kind of opportunity now. I feel like it looks like he's done everything in all indications. You know, he's one of the offseason winners. He's got his nice parking spot next to Vrabel. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But
I don't know either.
He seems to just really have jumped on this opportunity. I'm certainly not saying he's going to be like a standout tight end in the NFL, but I definitely feel I'm buying right now that he's up for it. How good will he be? You know, I don't know how much will he be used. I think that's going to be week to week. But man, you project this offense with everybody on the field, and there's some linebackers who are going to get twisted around by Firkser at times. And we know that Tannehill and Firkser have great chemistry. By the way, real quick on Firkser, DeShone Kizer had a terrific TD pass to him yesterday, kind of an up-and-down day for Pfizer. Woodside was better. Woodside,
did you say Pfizer?
Did I just say Pfizer?
Did you call him Pfizer?
Joe and his vaccines.
Oh, my gosh. He's got what you need. You need a touchdown, just inject a little Pfizer.
Oh, that was awesome.
Pfizer Schiatica.
That's right.
Yeah, Kizer, sorry. and anyway, Logan Woodside has been better than him. Woodside had a TD pass to Chester Rogers on Molden. That was actually great coverage by Molden, and it was just a perfect passing catch. But, you know, I guess he's the Moderna and Kaiser's the Pfizer. I guess so.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JC in Goodlettsville texting in. Maybe McMath's hysteria creates opportunity for a trade for a tight end or online depth, higher pick next year, etc. So maybe Racy McMath, little trade bait for somebody else?
I don't know if I'd go that far. I don't think there's some huge trade market. It's been, you know, it's been a nice story, and people, he looks good. And certainly when he goes out in that first preseason game, this is what happens. That's when all the other GMs around the league just absolutely go through the film of all the other preseason games to look at bottom of the roster guys, and people are going to notice him. Like, if he were to go on waivers and the Titans thought that they could keep him on the practice squad, they probably wouldn't be able to. But saying that he would be some kind of a trade chip right now is a little bit of a leap.
One thing that I agree wholeheartedly about in your assertion here on the buy part of it, kicker's a problem. The kicking position, pretty big problem. I don't think you're going to find many Titans fans that dispute that at this point.
Sam frickin' Ficken better be kicking today.
That's right. See what happens on that front. When we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Now moving over to Knoxville, covering the Tennessee Volunteers. Vols Media Day coming up later today. We'll get his thoughts on Josh Heupel heading into year one and the strengths and weaknesses of this Tennessee team heading in to the 2021 season. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.